Tom Feeney with you on a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's a new day for the Longhorns, for sure. Fresh start with a new coach, 31st head coach in the program's history. First time, gosh, since the 50s, they hired a coach that was not a current head coach at the time of hiring. He was an assistant, a coordinator. But Steve Sarkisian obviously does bring head coaching experience in two stops at USC and Washington, and now his third stop at Texas. And couldn't be a hotter commodity based on the performance of Alabama and the Alabama offense this year and on Monday night, and took that momentum right into his press conference yesterday unanimously won the press conference, which, you know, that's the easiest of the jobs. If you lose the press conference, that's probably a problem. But he did win it. We talked to Quan Cosby earlier. Quan is as connected as it gets at UT as far as his connections with former players and his former teammates and the current players, and then donors and important people at UT. He's close with Jay Hartzell and Kevin Eltife, and across the board, he said that hit all the notes, rang all the bells with everybody, former players and donors. Really, really excited about the message from Steve Sarkisian yesterday. But as I say, Buck, that's the easy part. It's putting that plan into action. Is something that Tom Herman and Charlie Strong struggled with. It's delivering the message and being genuine with people, building the relationships it takes at all levels. And as you say, every day is important, every day is special, and go to work.
Yeah, I mean, when we met Tom Herman, my first impression wasn't very good. It was like, wow, really? And this one yesterday, even though I wasn't present to look in his eye or look in his face, I mean, I did see it on TV. I thought it was really good. I thought he did a really good job. I think they did a real good job of presenting him. They didn't present him as the next savior of Texas football. They just presented him as the guy that can change directions, that's going to develop players and develop, you know, young men into really good men and good citizens out there, because he has that special message. So I thought it was good. I love the first impression. And then to see all the stuff from what people think of him and former players and his former players and everybody that's been around this guy, it's just a positive message. Just needs to continue to get out there. But as I said, the things that he said to me that really were important, that, you know, I wrote them down. I sat there with a pen and paper, and when he said today is the most important day, I knew that came from part of addiction or AA. It just was there. You're not thinking about what you did and how you didn't get it done, the day before, and you're not thinking about what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Make sure that this day, is the most important day, kind of your life, and that's just such a good, that's just a good way to put it. And he wanted to chase greatness. He said, "We're here to chase greatness, and we're not here to just win and win some things here or there, but to chase greatness," which means that goes hand in hand with making this the most important day, and putting in the work. I mean, that's for the players. You got to put in the work. The coaches, Sark, will make sure they put in the work. But the players, it is a two-way street. You've got to put in the work. You got to want to be great. You've got to want to be good. You got to want to be great every day. So, and then results. He understands what this business is about. He understands that if he doesn't win championships here, it hadn't gotten done. If he's just a good coach that wins 9 games here at Texas and wins one championship here or there, and he's here for a couple of years, that's not good. That's not results here. Results here now, going ahead and getting after Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell and winning those, and then getting into the Final Four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think here's what I'll say on that. I mean, I don't think they're as far away as people think they are. I know they have a lot of work to do. It's not, you know, what we saw on Monday night, you can't make that your comparison, because Ohio State was without question the second best team in America, right? And because what they did to Clemson 10 days earlier was pretty resounding. So they announced themselves as the second most talented team, and you know, they're so far away from Alabama, it's not funny. And that's, everyone's chasing Nick Saban right now, and there's no question at Alabama. But, you know, how close are you to playing for a Big 12 championship? I don't think very far. I mean, I think your 3 one-score losses this year that were winnable games all, from playing in that game and being in that conversation. Can Steve Sarkisian make up that ground? Can he put people in better positions to succeed? Can he get his best players, not do these silly player and positional rotations that seem like they're promises that you need to keep instead of good football logic? Can he change that? Can he change the relationship building with the team and actually have this team want to run through a brick wall for him? Those become questions. And if he can, I don't think it's that far away. And another thing I saw, Buck, is the ability to rebuild the recruiting relationships, which had fizzled out with Tom Herman. Yeah, that can happen based on the timeline we talked about, the performance in the Alamo Bowl, Sark's hiring, and then the performance Monday night. There's a buzz on the recruiting front. Young people want to play in a dynamic offense like that. They want to play. You know, you heard Steve Sarkisian when asked about his vision for his team. Offense, he wants to attack. I mean, the one word he kept using was attack. They want to attack on offense, attack on defense, special teams. It's what he believes in. If you're an attacking offense, the defense has to attack that, and you can't sit on your heels and try to catch it because you're not. You got to attack an offense. That's an offense kids want to play in. And he's already got his moniker, Buck, hashtag all gas, no breaks. I mean, that's already out there. I'm sure their T-shirts already being made at the co-op. So there's a lot there. But, again, I don't think the gap's that far to catch Iowa State, for crying out loud. There shouldn't be a gap with Iowa State.
There's not a gap that far to catch Lincoln Riley and his group. I mean, as he was talking, I was thinking, how far are they when it comes to player-wise? And I think he's good enough, and he's going to have coaches good enough to develop certain players and just make them better. And they're already 3 and 4 stars. So I just thought they were 4 players. I think this group is 4 players away. I think they're 2 offensive linemen, 1 wide receiver, and a shutdown corner away from competing at really, really high levels. You've got to have a shutdown corner. You can't keep saying, well, that guy's really – he's pretty good. No, you need a guy who can shut it down. And in this state, you ought to be able to find one. And I think they're 2 offensive linemen, two offensive linemen away from being really special. Not the group here, but as they go on recruiting, or if it's junior college, you find a couple real live grown men that can move their feet and are just mean and nasty, and then develop the ones that you have here. And I think they're 1 wide receiver, 1 really, really special wide receiver away, because I think they have enough at that position to get better, I mean, for sure. I mean, Joshua Moore, he's got to run better routes, and I think he'll have the opportunity with a guy like Sark, who's not going to put up if you're sloppy or if you drop balls or if you're not in the right place when the ball's being thrown. So I just say about 4 players away, and that's, to me, you can get away with some things on defense if you have the right defensive coordinator, but you got to have a cornerback that you really can rely on all the time. He doesn't get beat. He knows how to turn his hips. He knows how to play the ball in the air. You got to have that one guy. And you can throw out names all you want here, but they don't have that here.
No, they do not.
They're just not.
Yeah, and the opposite is true. And it's DBU, right? And you should be able to find that guy, recruit that guy, and develop that guy.
You're right.
And it's the Big 12, so you're always going to go up against top-end receivers. You know, every team's going to have their go-to guy. For the next 3 years at Oklahoma, it's Marvin Mims. I mean, you got to stop that guy. And Lincoln Riley will feed it, and every team in the Big 12, it's just been a breeding ground for great receivers. So you're right about that. In the offensive line, you know, there's some guys you like and some veterans,
sure.
But at the same time, I agree with you on that front 100%. And the one guy I would say wide receiver, man, if Jordan Whittington could become that go-to wide receiver and emerge as that as a to-be sophomore, you could have a couple more years with him. That's the type of guy that you get. You make him the centerpiece of your passing game. You make teams deal with him, which makes,
absolutely,
as you saw with Devontae Smith, it makes everybody around him better. Everyone benefits. And if you can build your offense around, Bijan Robinson for 2 more seasons and Jordan Whittington a wide receiver for a couple more seasons, everyone rises with that. And that's what,
absolutely,
you saw in Alabama. It was Derrick Henry and Devontae Smith, but everybody rode that. But as I said, the one thing I'd bring is the offensive line first, because that's the group,
sure,
that was nasty and physical and offensive line of the year, Remington Award winner. Alex Leatherwood, the left tackle, is the Outland Trophy winner. That's got to improve, and you're right about that. And that's the number one points of emphasis headed into this offseason.
And that's why it hurt so much to lose the Brockemeyers.
I
don't know. Maybe they would have been duds. Who knows? But all I know is that one is a real live stud. I mean, that's the one that hurt a lot.
It did.
One hurt a lot.
It did. And but again, that's, I don't think you change that. Those guys have already signed and are going to Alabama.
That's right.
They're already there. They're showing up as early enrollees. for Blake Brockermeyer's sons. You move on from that. But I don't think you move on from a guy like Quinn Ewers at South Lake Carroll. I certainly don't think you move on from anybody in the class of 2022 that hasn't already signed. And you certainly look around the landscape here between now and February, you know, first Wednesday of February, and find out guys that maybe could fill those gaps as a graduate transfer or a transfer in general and come in and help you immediately. That's the kind of momentum that they'd like to hit the ground the runner with. But first thing, they got to get the coaching staff solidified and finalized, begin to meet this, you know, because on the priority list, Buck, is coaching staff one, because you got to get these guys out on the recruiting trail or on the recruiting Zoom, however you're allowed to recruit these days. Two is then to get on the recruiting trail, because the players will return, the current players will return to campus, you know, next week. So the process of building relationships with players can begin next week when they roll back in here. Right now, coaching staff recruiting have to be the focus for Steve Sarkisian as he hits the ground running on day one.
You know, and it looks like the way things are going, where there's, you know, we're going to have COVID for a while. We just are. So, but I think you're going to get a spring. I think football teams now have figured out a way. No, we're getting our spring practice in this year. We're getting our summer. We're going to get this thing done. We've figured out some things with COVID. We know how to do. We know what the protocol is, but we can't go without a spring. I mean, it would have to be pretty drastic here in the United States for us not to have spring football for colleges. I think they've kind of got it down after going through what they went through during the season. And that's going to help a lot of guys. That's going to help develop a lot of players that may not have got developed last year right here or all over the country, really. You know, nobody got a chance to do that. And that's going to be big when you're coming in as a first-year head coach, especially with some kids that are really talented kids, but they needed that spring really, really bad.
Yeah, they did. That hurt me. Tom Herman would tell you, whatever his, you know, whatever personal things he's got to get fixed. The other stuff is, yeah, we didn't get a spring. That hurt a lot.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And new coaches, new connection. That was a challenge. But yes, I mean, the and that's why the word for me all morning is relationships. And Steve Sarkisian does feel like a genuine relationship guy that people like to be around. He's going to be genuine. He said that several, I think he used the word authentic about 10 times yesterday, Buck, that authentic, genuine relationships, authentic, and when he said that, you know, he was talking, he even said one of the points about the media. He said, look, I want to have a authentic relationship with you guys. There's no secrets here. Obviously we're going to be critical when it's time to be critical. People are going to write things that aren't very nice if they don't play well. But at the same time, that can still be an authentic relationship where you respect him, he respects you, he understands what your job is. Tom Herman would say he understood what our job was, but, you know, he was the smartest guy in the room at all time. That's not authentic. If you're in a room with a guy who thinks he's, you know, way above you from a conversation perspective, well, that's not good. That's never going to be an authentic thing. He's going to, you know, he really doesn't mean what he's saying. I did get a genuine vibe from Sark that's like, okay, yeah, I mean, that's you know, we're all here, and let's get this thing going. And that's going to be important for him moving forward. But let me hear from Steve Sarkisian. I'll let you hear from Steve Sarkisian, because we heard it live here yesterday. But on filling out that staff, if priority one is to build the coaching staff and then hit the recruiting trail, priority two, here is Sark on filling out that staff. And, you know, there's been some talk that Texas players, current players, may have some say in this, saying, hey, you know, keep this guy, keep that guy. Sark addressed that yesterday.
You know, I think generally speaking, anytime there's a coaching change, there's mixed emotions, right, for players on a roster. Some feel one way, some feel another way. And I think my job coming in now as a new head coach is to make sure we're assembling a staff that has the best interests of our players at heart, whether that's from a developmental piece, from a relationship piece, whatever those things are. And we'll clearly convey that to the players of why we did what we did with our staff and the direction that we went in. It is truly for the betterment of them, at least in our opinion. And now those relationships that are needed, that need to get built between coaches and players, they'll get built. And some of which will coaches from the previous staff will be on the staff, some of which will be coaches from the outside coming in. So I think assembling a staff is like forming a jigsaw puzzle, and there's intricate pieces that need to get put in place when you start thinking about recruiting, when you start thinking about development of players, when you start thinking about calling plays on game day. There's a lot that goes into it. When you start thinking about the culture you're trying to build in your building, there's a lot that goes into it. And you know, I think our players will understand that over time, but I recognize when some players want to keep a coach. There are mixed emotions that go into this thing. And so it's our job when we do assemble our staff and get everything in place to present these guys in the best light. And then it's everybody's job to be open-minded, to develop the relationships needed to grow.
All right. Again, another example, Buck, of the empathy there with players. Genuine. Conversation. Hey, I get it. You like that coach a lot. He brought you here. That's someone who's been a college athlete, Buck, who played the game, who has recruited and coached a lot of players, who understands that this isn't going to be easy for young student athletes that committed to a place because of a certain person. You've got to explain to them why they're making the move, and that's a 1-to-1 conversation right there.
Yeah, I mean, you can explain to them, but you're ultimately the one who has to make that decision. And for a young kid that, who wants his coach back and all that other stuff, Sark is going to just, he's going to choose the guy that he thinks is right. He'll take your input, but your input is going to be very minimal to the decision that he has to make for the football staff. It's nice to hear that from the third-string wide receiver or the fourth-string wide receiver. He's just going to look and say, okay, here's what I need you to do. No matter who I choose to be your coach, you need to develop with him.
Yeah.
I like your input, but if I don't choose your guy, here's what's going to happen. You're still going to listen to the guy that I put in that position.
Well, and you have to
He's
trust.
Saying it in a very nice way.
Yeah, well, I understand that too, but that's what I'm saying. There's empathy to that is, hey, you have to understand that I'm making this change, and here's why.
Correct.
But also why I think this is the best coach for you, and hopefully you'll trust me on that and believe in my judgment, and you guys can get on the same page. And life lesson like parents or like we are, Buck. I mean, sometimes things happen. You get a new boss, your boss gets fired. There's a new guy. You got to work with him. That's just the way that goes. Life happens.
It all sounds great, but there's going to come a time where he's not going to have to explain everything to you as a player.
No, he can't.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He didn't have time for all that.
I'm talking about the initial, first, because they're going to have every one of these players can watch the press conference, but they're also going to have an immediate first impression of him, vice versa, when they do meet for the first time. All right, coming up, we'll continue these conversations. Buck is back from his run to the airport. More from Sark. We'll get into some of the other stories, but obviously the new head coach at Texas dominating the news cycle and where we're at with it. We will continue those conversations moving forward, plus some of the other top stories of the morning. It's B&E with you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. A lot of opinions, conversations. Steve Sarkisian, new head coach at Texas. Normally this is a spot for the live music update with Tom Gimbel, but not a lot happening in the next 10 week or so on the live music front, so we'll punt that to next Wednesday. It's always brought to you by Lagshot Golf, lagshotgolf.com. Get that golf trainer. It's incredible. I've got one on my golf bag. You warm up with it. It's the only golf trainer in the world that you can actually hit golf balls with, and it gives you real-time results on what's working and what's not, so you can fix it. It is tremendous. Lagshotgolf.com brings that live music update. We will post all of Tom's suggestions and picks at our website, hornfm.com, and we appreciate Tom Gimbel, the general manager of the Austin City Limits television show.
By the way, the golf range out here in Dripping Springs, Texas USA America, is doing really, really well. It is
awesome.
It's gorgeous. I mean, they've done a remarkable job out there. And if you're out on 290 and you're headed through Dripping Springs and you want to find a place to hit your ball, it is special.
It's called the Dripping Springs Country Club, correct? Which is pretty cool.
I think it is.
Well, I met with those guys and the husband and wife that own that, and couldn't be nicer people. Listeners of the show, of course, he is a P1, loves listening to the Horn, all the shows here on the Horn.
That place is something.
But it's awesome. They've done a great job, and if you live in Dripping Springs, so you know this. I mean, the closest place to go hit golf balls is you got to drive into Wimberley or up to Gray Rock, down into Blanco. There's not a golf course in Dripping Springs, so
packed parking lots on Saturdays all the way to the very end. They had to build new bays.
Well, I know when they first reached out to us and we're talking about doing some stuff, I think, well, let's drive out there and see it. And I'm thinking that's going to be cool because I know the demand will be there in Dripping Springs as it grows. But, man, you get out there, it's got the TrackMan technology. It's got the computerized things in the first 10 bays.
Nice lunch.
Oh, man, you can eat something. It's just a really nice setup. They do a good job there. So appreciate them as partners of the station as well. Go hit those golf balls. Go get better. Hey, every day is important, Buck.
Every day will always be important.
Get better.
That's right. It's the most important day is today.
Did you get better today? You know who didn't get better yesterday?
Who's that?
The situation for Cal McNair and the Houston Texans. Before we get back to the Steve Sarkisian conversation, can I mention this to you? You know, when things been going bad, right? We had A.J. Hoffman earlier this week. We know the Texans are a mess. Deshaun Watson wants traded. And, we talk about this guy, Jack Easterby, who is the president, and it all centers around him. He is the center of this this problem for Cal McNair. Now, Cal McNair is the owner, so he has the ultimate say, but he has sided with Jack Easterby. And the stories are long that, you know, he was ready to hire Omar Khan from the Pittsburgh Steelers, talking contract, and then Jack Easterby talked him into Nick Caserio at the last minute, which made everybody mad. And now Nick Caserio is the general manager. Who, by the way, I do like Nick Caserio, at least from what I've heard from him so far, but there's bigger problems than him right now. Well, here's this couldn't have gone worse yesterday, because Deshaun Watson's already angry, beyond angry, because he wasn't included, and he doesn't like, let's be clear about this. Nobody in the locker room likes Jack Easterby, and namely Deshaun Watson. And so the most popular Houston Texan ever, over the last, it's only an 18-year-old organization, but its most popular player until J.J. Watt was Andre Johnson, right? The wide receiver, phenomenal player, one of their first ever draft picks. Well, he took to Twitter yesterday, Andre Johnson. Let's also remember Andre Johnson was a part of the so-called committee that Cal McNair put together to help hire the new general manager and head coach, right? He was on that list along with Tony Dungy and Jimmy Johnson and R.C. Buford. Andre Johnson's name was on that. So Cal McNair allegedly or reportedly was, or by their own admission, was seeking the counsel of Andre Johnson when it came to these decisions. Well, so Andre Johnson took to Twitter and wrote, "If I'm Deshaun Watson, I will stand my ground. The Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers. Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what is going on. Pathetic!" With exclamation points. That's his simple tweet. That's scathing. That's a problem for Cal McNair. This is the most popular player in the history of the franchise outside of J.J. Watt. So now you got J.J. Watt who's angry. DeAndre Hopkins is gone. Andre Johnson making it clear, and Deshaun Watson mad. So the most important players for your franchise are all angry, and it all centers around Jack Easterby and Cal McNair's unwillingness to get rid of this guy who's causing all the problems. That's Andre Johnson is a loved figure in the city of Houston, Buck.
Yeah, I know we're close to it, and that's too bad because the most unsports town right now is the city of Houston, where who cares about James Harden? I mean, they can't get rid of him. He's a pain in the ass.
Yep.
The owner of the Texans is a pain in the ass. It's almost like don't even talk about the basketball team down there, because there's one guy now who's just now trying to sabotage everything. I mean, I don't care if he's a great player or not. You can't do without him, or you can't just get rid of him. That guy needs to go. I would start all over before I'd have that guy walk out and play another game for me with the Rockets. I wouldn't let that guy come on the court. If I was the coach and I'm a new coach, I'm going to say, I can't coach. That guy's a saboteur. He only wants bad things to happen to the team.
Right.
So how could that guy actually walk onto the court and play for you when you know he's the guy who's sabotaging everything and he doesn't want to be there?
And he's 20 pounds overweight. I'm not body shaming. I'm just telling you he's heavy.
Yeah, and then he's hurt the team by going out and all this COVID stuff. He doesn't care about the team.
He doesn't care
about the players on the team.
Well, I mentioned that earlier, that after the game last night, they lost to the Lakers for back-to-back nights. He sounded off, said it's crazy here, it's unsalvageable. And then John Wall was asked about it, and he said, yeah, it could be better. It could have been better, essentially saying, you know, if Harden would buy into this, it could get better. But he's, as you said, doing everything he can do to sabotage it.
Well, he's one of my most disliked players in the NBA now.
Who, Harden?
James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a team guy. He's not even close to being a team guy. And so if he can't work with you, I know you can't just give him away, but you got to try to get something for him. But I would let him walk on the court again.
Well, and Harden is – you know, Harden's – I've always been not a huge fan. You know that. And it's about the team. It was always about James for me. And he likes to get his points. And he's a great scorer. He's a, you know, Hall of Fame talent. There's no debate about that. But, you know, the fact that Russell Westbrook lasted 1 year with him, and then Russell Westbrook needed out because he couldn't play in that culture, which is, it's not about winning. It's not about championships. It's about, you know, stats and James. And now it's to a full different level that he's just doing everything he can do to be a pain in the ass to get traded.
So what is it? I mean, what is it that they can do? Can they just tell him to walk? I mean, get nothing for him? I mean, what do you do? I wouldn't be able to coach that guy. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't put my that guy put all the players in danger. Now he's doing this, and now he's complaining all the time. Now they got a pretty good player in Wall, and now you got another star saying they can't control the guy that they have here.
Yeah,
they
I don't
can't
know.
Control him.
I don't know what you do at this point. The Rockets, they knew what they were doing when they said they wanted to get uncomfortable, and I don't know if they thought that it would get this bad. I think they figured that James would still want to get his points, which means they would put the Rockets in a good situation to win. But the last four games, he's not even gone over 20 points, which that hasn't happened since it's OKC day. So I have no idea where you go from this point.
Well, I mean, and he's out of shape. I'm not saying that to body shame the guy. I'm just saying that that tells me he's not putting in the work behind the scenes. I mean, you got to put your time in the gym. You got to get your workouts in. You got to put the time in to be better. And that's whatever you thought of James Harden before. You never doubted the work ethic. You never doubted the time he was putting in his craft. I mean, just ugly. Now, to your point with the Rockets back to the Texans, Buck, Jack Easterby is the center of all this. If it, you know, James Harden's the problem with the basketball, and Easterby is the exact opposite. He thinks he knows how to win this thing. He has got an overinflated opinion of you know, this is a guy, again, the former team chaplain who's risen to team president. And the reports are, and look, now that Andre Johnson has put out this tweet and put Jack Easterby's name on it, I do think you'll see a national story on this coming. There have been some writing, but no one willing to go on the record. You know, Easterby's problem is he's ultra religious, and he's almost an ultra political. He's ultra conservative, and I have no problem with people's political views or religious views. You just can't, when you're running a business, you can't make that part of the deal, right? Now everyone's going to come to the table at your company with different religious affiliations, with different sure. beliefs, with different track records, and different things they believe in, whichever voting side of the aisle they're on. You have to run the organization. The reports from Houston are that Jack Easterby's trying to change that. I mean, he wants to run it like you would run a church of some kind, and it's almost a we're looking for people with the right fit, they always say in the Houston front office.
What are you looking for, a football cult, an NFL cult?
Yeah,
or
exactly. That we're looking for good guys, and I'm almost like he's convinced Cal McNair that if you build your roster with the right guys, and these are the guys that, you know, you don't listen to the naysayers.
It's the NF freaking out.
I know. And again, this is a guy, remember Bill Belichick was asked about Jack Easterby when they played the Patriots this year, was asked about, is he a personnel guy? And he said, not at all. No, he was a life coach. I mean, and again, that's the thing about Easterby. He's climbed this ladder as someone who helped players, who his job was to, hey, let's not talk about football. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about what's going on in your personal life. How can we help you get on track there? Because you're going to bring that stuff to the locker room. And he was very, very successful at that in Kansas City and New England and then to Houston. Rave reviews. That's why how he ended up with Bill O'Brien and the Texans. But it's almost like the power has gone to his head, and now all of a sudden he thinks he can help shape the roster and shape the employees in the front office and do it in his image. These are the right kind of people, the fit. And it's alienated everybody in the locker room because, again, everybody brings different, you know, track records, different baggage, different, you know, they're different political views, religious views. And
good luck with that in the NFL.
Yes. And good luck to that. Good luck to that in any business.
I know.
You
yeah.
can be a strong conservative, you know, religious person if you want. If you're the boss, you have to be the interest has to be the business and how you operate it. And people are going to have different opinions. But and the biggest problem for Houston is it feels like Kyle McNair is aligned with Jack Easterby on his vision for how to run this. And that's a real problem when you've got J.J. Watt fuming. Bill O'Brien's already been fired. One of his first move, Jackie, was to get Brian Gain fired because he was the general manager, the actual person who was trying to build a roster and understanding how the NFL works. And, you know, you can't run it that way. And now you've alienated your best players, your locker room, your quarterback. And if Andre Johnson is speaking out, almost speaking for Deshaun Watson there and actually naming the name, you know, that guy should be fired today if you're Cal McNair. Problem is Cal McNair is drinking the Kool-Aid, too. That's a problem.
Well, that's why when I said when people were saying, you know, maybe Eric Bieniemy would suit well with the quarterback, I'm like, please, Eric, don't take that job. Don't take that job. That's not a job for you.
No, and
that's
he would know that pretty
not
quick,
a place
right?
For you. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Well, and
he's already known that.
Well, and again, we talked to AJ Hoffman earlier in the week. He said that, you know, the reason they hadn't interviewed, and when I say they, that didn't include Nick Caserio. The interviews that had been done already were done by Jack Easterby and Cal McNair.
Right.
But then this is the contradiction of the whole thing. It almost, they made it sound like on Friday that any interview that had been done doesn't matter because it's going to be Nick Caserio hiring the coach. And Nick Caserio just got there. And so any interview that was done previously, it almost doesn't even it shouldn't be an issue, and that's why that Eric Bieniemy all of a sudden is going to get an interview. Well, that would make some sense because Nick Caserio is the guy that's going to interview him now. But again, you know, it always comes with Jack Easterby and Cal McNair above,
right?
And that's ugly. That's ugly. And by the way, on the Bieniemy thing, the Chiefs gave everybody a window that wanted to talk to him during the bye week. Like, you know, while the Chiefs were off, he did interviews with the other teams that wanted to talk. But since it's game week and the Texans have requested an interview, they now cannot talk to Eric Bieniemy with approval from the Chiefs until the season's over for the Chiefs. And that could be a month from now. You know, that could be 3 weeks into the Super Bowl, obviously.
That guy's not going to take that job. That's
no,
a clown
not.
Show.
No, they're not.
No.
But I do, like, I genuinely think Nick Caserio wants to talk to Eric Bieniemy now that he's there. And obviously, is that pressure and trying to assuage Deshaun Watson? Probably some of that. But at the same time, the bigger issue goes above Caserio. It goes above Deshaun Watson. And now I think people who initially were kind of knee-jerk on, you know, screw Deshaun Watson, you just got a new contract. It's not just him. And that's why Andre Johnson never says anything, by the way. Andre Johnson never speaks out. He's a total franchise team guy, or had been, and that just gives you a further indication. If ultimate franchise and team guys like J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, and Andre Johnson are telling you this guy's a major problem, that would tell you he's a major problem. This isn't just disgruntled guys at the back end of the roster that aren't getting a fair shake in their opinion. No, these are the most prominent figures in your organization and in your organization's history. Yeah, that's a problem. All right, we will come back, take your thoughts on that. We will hit the Steve Sarkisian story one more time, his priorities as he hits the ground running today. Also tee it up for the rest of the day here on the Horn, including Texas basketball tonight. Got to get a preview of that. It's Beanie on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Obviously, a lot of Steve Sarkisian conversation today. Genuine debut, I thought, yesterday. He won the press conference. Probably the best I've seen since Mac Brown was introduced at Texas, and that one still gets talked about. People are ready to run onto the football field after that. There was a little of that. I know you were a fan, Buck, of Steve Sarkisian's message yesterday, players being number one. I also like, Buck, that when he was asked even a tough question, the eyes of Texas question, Texas A&M, do you want to play that game? You know, a lot of times you'll get the political answer. I mean, Steve Sarkisian answered quickly, directly, affirmatively, and moved on to the next thing. I mean, I thought it was pretty well handled. I know the initial statement he made, and we've played a lot of it, was, you know, well, you know, he prepared that and I'm sure worked on it. But I was even more impressed with the actual open flow questions coming from the media that he had a good answer, or at least his answer. It wasn't, you know, trying to take the political high road in a lot of cases on any of them. He answered them, and which shows a guy that thinks on his feet pretty well, has a strong idea of who he is and what he believes in, and didn't have to think about it too long. I like that a lot.
Yeah, there certainly was not a bunch of blah, 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 blah. There wasn't a lot of that. There were really quick, precise answers. He didn't go any further than, you know, then when we'd love to play Texas A&M. I'm for that. He didn't say, you know, this group over here doesn't want it or that. He just stopped right there. He said, I'd like to play that game.
Yeah.
Well, there's no extra on that. It's just what it is.
Well, and again, unfortunately, you know, as a national story, I did a Google search of this, and if you Google Steve Sarkisian, all the top stories at ESPN and USA Today and Yahoo are about this answer about the eyes of Texas when asked about, and we know that's a big issue for everybody across the board, but when asked yesterday about the eyes of Texas, here's what Steve Sarkisian said.
Well, I know this much. The eyes of Texas is our school song, and you know, we support that song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing it proudly. I think when I come into the fold, I think any talks that need to have, whether it's about the eyes of Texas or any other issues that come up, I think it's having the discussions. We can't put our head in the sand and act like things aren't happening. We have to really have those discussions with them and educate our players to make sure that we're all on the same page and understanding that. I think sometimes there are tough discussions that need to happen. You know, without speaking too candidly, we're living in a country right now where there's some turmoil going on. But as long as we can have those discussions and be on the same page, we can do that. As it pertains to the eyes of Texas, man, that's our song, and we're fired up to sing it.
All right, so there it is.
He's Steve Sark is not going to let the eyes of Texas derail his football program.
Yeah. Yeah, and
he's not going to do that.
Well, I'm sure he was briefed.
He's too smart, and he's been around young people, and he's been around kids that live in places like Alabama. He's going to have that done to order it. Everybody's not going to be happy. Everybody's not going to be satisfied. But before they take the field, there'll be a conclusion on what they believe.
Yes.
You know, should be done. So that part I'm not going to worry about.
Yeah, and I do believe that, I'm sure Jay Hartzell, the president, briefed him. You know, he's got the committee installed there. That's a campus-wide issue. It's a cultural issue bigger than even the campus. And, you know, that's a problem for the marching band and the music department, everybody on campus. And the football team is the most, shining example. But that's a campus thing that Jay Hartzell's trying to get his hands around and come up with some resolution to.
Right.
But I thought it was a good answer. And he was asked about Texas A&M because, of course, our man Easy Ed Clemens over at KLBJ had to ask the obligatory, do you want to play the Aggies? Which, again, he nor Jimbo Fisher have any control over whether they play the game or not. Here's what his answer was, though.
I would love to play that game. I think it'd be great for the state of Texas. But look forward to it.
There it is. Done.
Yeah, just kind of brief. Yeah. not much into it.
Bring them on. But yes, I mean, that's...
Yeah. Plus, the way he treated the Aggies when he was the offensive coordinator with Alabama, sure he'd love to do that. He knows what he could do to them.
No doubt. All right, Buck. Texas basketball tonight. We'll get there.
Yes.
People are enjoying watching this team. I know you are. I am. They play Texas Tech tonight. You know, Chris Beard has been a name we've talked about a lot. Got a 10-win team there. They're 10-3. Texas comes in at 10-1 and 4-0 in Big 12 play. That's an 8 o'clock tip tonight, but should be a fun basketball game this evening. You'll be watching. I know that.
Oh, I'm going to watch every bit of it.
All right. That's 8 o'clock. They got to stay up late. It might not be over until like 10.
Uh-oh. I won't be watching every bit of it then.
Oh, man. Buck, thanks for the visit. Input today after you got back from the airport. We'll talk full show tomorrow with Buck. 4 hours, Buck offs and Buck ons. Thank you to Isaiah Collier. You're doing a lot of extra today. Appreciate that. Thank you to all the crew in the afternoon yesterday that cut up all that great Steve Sarkisian audio. Appreciate them making the show flow. And thank you to Quan Cosby. Quan was phenomenal today. Check that out about 7:10 today. Every hour and every interview, every conversation, podcast at hornfm.com. We are live. We are local. We are digital. On 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and we are always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.